Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Just before I get into the message, I wanted to celebrate. There were 9 baptisms in Malawi this morning. So, yay, that's huge. We love our church over there. If you haven't been here when Pastor Brighton was here, he is possibly coming back sometime here this year as well. So if you haven't met Pastor Brighton, he's seen the dead raised. He's just he's an incredible pastor, and so I hope you can meet him soon. The other thing I wanted to just celebrate was, now of course all the youth left, so we're going to celebrate them when they're not in here, but we had Dallas running sound. This was his second time on sound, and we had Haley on the drums for her second time only. So that was a really big deal. They took some big steps of faith, so if you see them afterwards, encourage them, because there's nothing worse than serving and taking a step of faith, and then nobody says anything. You're like, what did I do? Did I mess up, right? So let's encourage them and cheer them on. We love helping people try new things. Amen? All right. Here we go. I was all excited because I was going to wear... Anyone wake up this morning and get really depressed by the temperature outside? I was like, I could wear a t-shirt and like capris and sandals, and it was 32 degrees. So I ran out to the car and blasted the heat on my feet, and I just sat there with my winter jacket on, right? Maybe some of you are more warm-blooded, but I am not. But anyway, happy Easter. We're excited to be with you. We have this cool little setup over here, which I was going to announce during worship, and then worship was just a lot this morning, so didn't get to it. But this is a really special setup. Please applaud the wonderful stage design that I worked very hard on last night. I don't think I will make a career out of it, but we can just pretend it looks good, right? Okay, so what we have is, obviously, we have an empty tomb. Thank God it's empty. But it's actually a prayer station. So I want to encourage you, at the end of service this morning, Natalie helped me set this up. We have candy, right, because it's Easter. But we also have some scriptures over there. Is that correct? So we have scriptures over there and some markers, right? There are markers as well. There will be by the end of service. And I want to encourage you to come on up and write down something that God has resurrected in your life onto the tomb wall. All right, so pick a rock. I don't know what it is about us and writing on rocks in this church this year, but it's just a thing. So I want to encourage you, you know, write something down on there that got some dry bones, right, from our rattle songs. This is the sound of dry bones. And so write down some dry bones that God has resurrected. You might write the word hope. You might write a restored relationship, whatever it is. Maybe it's a physical healing or an emotional healing. And we just want to cover that grave with some victories in Jesus. All right? So that's going to be a fun thing that we'll do at the end here. But we've been doing a whole series here on building the kingdom of God. Who's been here since the first Kingdom of God building message? Anybody? Awesome. So we've got most of us. So we talked about communication. We build the kingdom of God in our lives with our words, right? So we either build up each other or we're tearing down with our words. We talked about hearing God's voice. So building God's kingdom by hearing his voice and following him, right? We talked about building God's kingdom through testimonies and God's stories. Pastor Tom and Jordy shared about that. And then we talked about the power of forgiveness and building God's kingdom every time we forgive. Ever think about that? That there's like some parts of us that have the kingdom of God locked up in us because we haven't forgiven someone yet. And when we forgive, we can actually let the kingdom of God out. Isn't that a powerful thing? It's really important. So today we're talking about a doorway that is also really famous, but it's obviously made out of stone, right? So that's why I had to do this doorway thing over here. Maybe focus more on the prophetic artwork that is way more beautiful to look at here. But we're going to talk about the empty grave and that doorway that got rolled away this morning. But I want to kind of back up from Easter Sunday, because something about, I love talking on Easter, but what always highlights to me is the 2 days before Easter. And I want to talk about that just as much as we talk about Sunday morning this morning, because you can't have a third day resurrection without a first day death or a second day of waiting, right? Who's ever tried to skip to, does anyone know, I'm going to show my age. I'm not that young, but I do get on Instagram here. So anybody on Instagram, have you ever seen the meme or the reel or whatever it is where it's like, can we skip to the good part, right? Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you, I'm glad. But there's this little video with the audio, and then like usually a guy or a girl is like, it's like they're putting all the ingredients in, and then they're stirring, and then it like, can we skip to the good part? And then there's just like 9-layer cake that obviously took like 15 hours of frosting, right? But it's just like that, because the reel cuts, right? Or sometimes it's like a pregnant woman, and then can we skip to the good part, and then she's got like 10 kids, right? It's like, that didn't just happen. Like, try that again, right? And so I think a lot of times we're like, hey, in our Christian walk, can we skip to the good part, right? And then some of us got saved, and we're like, can we skip to the good part? And then we're like still standing there. It's like, wait a minute, the video didn't cut, right? And so this morning I want to talk about the first day death and the second day waiting that's required for every third day resurrection. And I want to speak to you this morning because I think one of the best parts about church is that we're all different people with all different backgrounds, with all different stories, all different things we've had to overcome or haven't yet overcome. And honestly, the minute our church becomes one background story with one age, with one thing we're overcoming, is probably the day I'll just like retire. Because that's the beauty of the body of Christ. It's diverse, right? And that's the bride of Christ that Jesus is coming back for. And so everyone here today is dealing with something different. And so some of us might be in a season that feels more like the Friday season. It feels more like unmet expectations are happening right now in your life, a Friday season. Some of us this morning might be in the Saturday season, where you have no idea where God went or what he is doing, but you can't hear him right now. And then, of course, all of us, whether you're in a Friday season or a Saturday season, you all have access 24/7 to the resurrection power of God. Easter is every day, right? This was like 15 years ago. I wrote this song called Easter is Every Day, and you're very welcome. We do not play it anymore because it needed to go to sleep. But the song words were great, and it said, Easter is every day, a choice we get to make. Will you let him roll the stone away? And so that's that. If you get one thing out of today's message, that's what I want you to think about. Will you let him roll his stone away? Easter is every day. But we're going to get into Friday and Saturday and then Sunday this morning for just a few minutes, because I think the youth probably don't want to leave because they're in their escape room. They may not be able to leave. Let's just be honest. Escape rooms have a way of locking you, and don't worry. We're a safe church. The kids are not locked in a room. If anyone's watching, I don't want anyone to report us. They have free access to the outside world and to your parents, okay? We're a safe church. But they've got some kind of game thing they're doing. I don't know. I won't ask. But number one, we'll get back to the message. Number one, some of you today are in a first day season, in a Friday season of unmet expectations and life throwing curveballs at you. Who is either in the season or has ever been in a season where you've had unmet expectations and curveballs thrown at you? Anybody this morning? All right, I'm only going to talk to a real church because that's all I've got in me. I just want to be real this morning. One of my favorite songs is called Son of Suffering. Has anyone heard it? Anybody? One. Yes, because I sent it to you. All right, I should have sent it to everybody. If you haven't heard it, write it down. This song will wreck you. It's called Son of Suffering. It just came out. And, a lot of times we talk about our worship songs, they're like third day resurrection, like, oh, happy day, like, oh, happy. Has anyone ever had a hard time singing, oh, happy day, when you're in a Friday season of unmet expectations and life throwing curveballs at you? Anybody? Okay, well, I just want to point this out, that even if I'm singing on stage with a smiling face or jumping around, I too sometimes have a hard time singing that. And it doesn't mean I don't jump, because I actually have learned to jump and smile through it, because I want to actually declare it over my life. I'm not faking it. I'm trying to declare it, right? It's a big difference. But sometimes it's hard to sing those resurrection songs. And I think we actually don't have enough songs about the process that first and second day happen in our life. Does that make sense? And so if you notice, we're trying to introduce some more process songs, because Jesus is about the process as much as the third day. Amen? But the song is Blood and Tears. This is the verse, one of the verses. Blood and tears, how can it be that there's a God who weeps? Oh, there's a God who bleeds. I love those lyrics. Blood and tears, how can it be that there is a God who weeps? And there is a God who bleeds. And I think sometimes it's important to remember that Easter is not the story of a superhero, a god from another world who just steps right in and saves the day like we like to watch on TV, which is great. I honor superheroes, just putting that out there to the comic store owners over here. But God isn't a superhero. He actually stepped into the flesh, and he actually suffered. And he did it so that when we bleed and when we cry, he can be there with us. And I don't think the church talks enough about a God who suffered and who isn't afraid to stand in our suffering with us. We're a church that believes in miracles. We're a church that believes God is our way maker. But sometimes the miracle and the way maker, you got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it doesn't mean Jesus isn't working a miracle in you. It just means he's with you, and that's the miracle. Does that make sense? I think that's very important. We don't talk enough about it. But we're going to go to John chapter 11 here. And we're going to live here for most of this morning, actually. So if you want to get your Bible out, that'd be great. It's a church. Bring your Bible, right? I feel like there was like a year where I didn't hear a lot of paper turnings. I think it was during COVID, probably. Honestly, I didn't hear anything because no one was in here. I was just talking to a camera. It was very sad. But bring your Bible, all right? Because I like to hear the paper turn. It's a good sound. So John chapter 11, verse 17. We're going to talk about Lazarus for a minute, and don't worry, we will bring it back to Jesus for Easter. John 11:17-27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Everyone say 4 days. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Anyone ever said that to God? You end up in a crisis and you're like, God, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. It's interesting. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Just say that. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So there is a breakthrough on Friday Seasons of Life, in Seasons of Life of unmet expectations and life-throwing curveballs, when you realize that the breakthrough is found in Jesus, not just through Jesus, right? Brian and I got blessed, and we're going to go on our one-year anniversary, and finally, our honeymoon. Thank God. We're going to leave town to go on our honeymoon. Even though we had someone provide so that we could actually be on Cougar Lake for our honeymoon. It was a very big blessing because we couldn't leave because of Brian's back injury. But we're finally going to get on an airplane, which I love if you know me. But I downloaded this app on my phone to count down the days until vacation. Yes, I am that desperate to go on the belated honeymoon. So it was like 15 days, 12 days. 8 days, right? And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. But how many know that, like, that's so our culture to be destination driven, right? It's like you get into college so that you can graduate college. You get into the job so that you can climb the ladder. You are single and then you're trying to get married and then you're older and then you want to retire and then you retire and you want to do this, or right? There's always destination driven. There's nothing wrong with having vision for your life. Please have vision. It's good, right? But Jesus isn't just destination oriented. And I think it's dangerous when we're in a season of unmet expectations, of life throwing curveballs at you. It's really easy to just think about when it'll be good again. And again, having hope is good, but I'd much rather have hope in someone, not just for something, right? Jesus is our hope. And so, you know, we pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, not just one day when I die, but now. And so I want to speak encouragement to anyone who is dealing with a season of unmet expectations and life throwing curveballs at you, where the breakthrough you thought you were praying for and was going to see, you're now seeing Jesus on a cross where you thought you'd see something else, right? I want to encourage you to actually get to know who Jesus is, not just what Jesus can do for you, because you will find your breakthrough in relationship with him. Does that make sense? John 11, 32, 44, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, which I actually think is the longest, is Jesus wept. And that verse, I think that might be one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it shows that Jesus has emotion and he cares. And he's not just sitting on a throne saying, you can do this. You know, anybody have like a parent that cheered them on from the sideline? Like, come on, I believe in you. That's fantastic. But he's not just that. He's also right in the dirt with us and he's actually weeping when we weep. And some of you this morning need to hear that. Unmet expectations is the starting point of resurrection, because in order to have a third day resurrection, you have to have a first day death. So I want to just speak hope. If you're in a moment where you're in unmet expectations or life throwing curveballs, it's not over yet. It might be the first day, but you have 24/7 access to the resurrection power of God. Amen? All right, who's ready to wake up on Saturday morning? What's your favorite? Did anyone have like a tradition of a breakfast in your home for Saturday mornings? Anyone? Cereal. I love you, Rod. Anybody else? Anything a little more fancy? Pancakes. Bacon. My woman right there. You and me, Saturday morning. Waffles. I am feeling a Saturday morning breakfast that's not just for the men. Men always get the breakfast on Saturdays. I don't know what happened to the poor women, right? We want the pancakes too. So we got pancakes, waffles, bacon. So let's wake up on Saturday morning. Saturday seasons are seasons of waiting and not seeing how God is moving yet. Anyone ever been in this or in this currently of waiting and not seeing how God is moving yet? Jesus died, and the day after, and on the third day as well, right? The disciples are hiding, grieving, and weeping. We read that in Mark. Hiding, grieving, and weeping. I love Jesus' model of leadership, because if we followed it exactly, we would, first off, change the world a lot more than we already do, right, with Jesus, because we'd be following his model. But also, I think it'd look a lot more messy than we think. Who would want to, like, imagine, like, the top Cornell graduate, I don't know, like, 2022, all the people in pre-med, I'm sorry, I'm just calling out your degree because I'm looking at you, right, pre-med, the entire 2022, and they're like, they're going to go change the world, and then one thing, like, one person gets an F, and the entire class is in grieving, mourning, and hiding, right? That would be an odd leadership. Like, you'd be like, oh, I thought they got a degree from Cornell, right? I thought the disciples knew Jesus. Anyone ever think they know Jesus, right? Anyone ever thought they knew him, they knew what he was going to do next? And so the disciples are hiding here, and they can't hear anything. And so in order to have a third day resurrection, you have to have a second day time of waiting. And as I was prepping this part, I got the scripture, Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Everybody wants their strength renewed, but nobody likes the recipe of how you get it. Right? Everybody wants their strength renewed, but nobody likes the recipe of how you get it. You get it by hoping or waiting in the Lord. If you feel like you're in a second day season of wondering what God is doing and waiting, you're actually in a strength building moment in your life, and you may not realize it, but the strength that you build here will release you into your next season. But that word wait or hope in the Lord, that word wait, it means to bind together or gather together. In other words, what you bind yourself to, what you get close to when you don't know what God is doing and in that season of waiting will determine whether your strength is renewed or not to walk in the resurrection power of God. You guys following? What you're binding yourself to in that season of waiting. Anyone ever been waiting for something and then you start complaining or you start wasting your time or you get distracted, right? I think cell phones are the worst because now in waiting rooms at like the doctor's office, everybody's on their phone and you're just like in this little bubble, right? You're distracted while you wait. But there used to be a time when you put your cell phone away or you didn't have one and you like said hi to somebody, right? And like said hi to a stranger. I know we don't live in California, but we can pretend once in a while to be friendly to people, right? This is a thing. And so there used to be a time when you waited that you gathered together in the waiting room and you said hi and you were nice, right? But now you don't get together, right? We just stay in our bubbles. And so what you bind yourself to while you wait will determine whether your strength is renewed. And I think this is really important because we have a lot of us who feel like our strength isn't renewed. And I'm not pointing fingers. I have been there myself more often than not. And God was just reminding me, well, if you're binding yourself to what is not building you up or isn't God, then your strength isn't going to be renewed and you're going to wonder why you feel so depleted. So I just want to encourage you to bind yourself to God in Saturday seasons. We don't need to overcome our need for God, right? I love like the overcoming message. And when I was praying into Easter, I kept hearing the word overcome, overcome, overcome. And so maybe that's just even for one person this morning. God wants to remind you that you are an overcomer. But sometimes you can get so much into the overcoming message as a Christian. You're like, I'm going to change the world, right? And you're just like, overcome, overcome, overcome. But we never overcome our need for God. And Saturday seasons of waiting remind us of that. So if you're in a Saturday season of waiting, of not hearing from God in the way that you thought you would or normally do, it's just a question of have you tried to overcome your need for him? It's a good reminder that we need him. I actually stole this from my message from last year, this little part here. So if anybody says they've heard this before, that's actually a good thing. And if you haven't heard it before, but you were here last year, we will talk afterwards, right? It's okay, I didn't remember saying this. In those 3 days, the disciples were so focused on what they thought God wasn't doing that they missed what God was doing. Have you ever gotten so focused on what you think God isn't doing that you miss what he is doing in your community, in your world, in your finances, your health, your marriage, your relationships, or your season of life? That's a good Saturday lesson. Don't get so focused on what you think God isn't doing that you miss what he is doing. The disciples were grieving, hiding, and they were all isolated, right? Don't isolate and grieve and mourn for something that God isn't doing and miss what he's actually doing. All right? It's a good word. That's why I had to say it again. I'll say it's a good word. Saturday's question, can these bones live again? All right, so we're going to go to Ezekiel here, and we'll start to wrap up here in just a second. Ezekiel 37, I had to talk about Ezekiel 37 because we, of course, did the song Rattle. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Anyone have a weird dream? This would be like right up there if I'm in a valley of bones, right? He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Everyone say very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, you alone know. I love that answer. It's like the best answer in the Bible. God's like, can you live? And it's like, I don't know. I'm going to just cop out here and like, I'm going to pull the God card on God, right? Anyone ever tried pulling a God card on God? Good luck with that, right? But I love this word valley. He led me into the middle of the valley. That word valley means ready to burst. Saturday seasons often feel like seasons of time where you feel like you're going to burst. Situations around you feel like they're so full of pressure or tension that they're just bubbling up and ready to burst. Anyone ever been in a season that feels like it's about to burst? I tell you what, the last 2 years, the world has felt like it's about to burst, right? But I know because of the isolation that everybody went through for those months or longer, depending on what you did, a lot of families or a lot of mental health became valleys that felt like they were about to burst. So going on to verse 4 in Ezekiel 37, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's why we sang that so many times this morning. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you know that I am. am the Lord. So Saturday seasons require us to surrender how we think it should be, to surrender any dryness, any situations that feel like they're about to burst. And they actually require us to speak life where there is death, to speak hope where there is hopelessness. Are you guys following me? All right, are you ready for Sunday morning? What is your favorite food on a Sunday morning? Anybody? Does anyone know mine? If you get here early, you'll know mine. What is it? Oatmeal. Everybody said oatmeal. And everybody, this is a group confessional. Why is it oatmeal? How do you know it's oatmeal? Because it's always hanging on the chair. It's so true. Now Caleb's trying to have an inner healing session over oatmeal. We'll talk after. No, I do not like oatmeal, but I do eat it on Sundays. Anybody else have a fun food that they eat on Sunday mornings? Bagels. That's much better than oatmeal because you can also eat it in the car, but that's good. I'm going to take notes. Anybody else? Blueberry pancakes. Y'all are morning birds because you have time to make them. That's admirable. Bring me a blueberry pancake someday. That would make my Sunday. All right. So let's wake up on Sunday morning here. And I love Sunday morning because we have 24/7 access to resurrection life, all right? So I don't want anyone to walk away from this message and think, I'm in the first day season. I'm in a Friday season of unmet expectations. That means I got to wait two more days to connect with Jesus as the resurrection life, right? That is not what the point of this message is, because Sunday is every day. Easter is every day, right? We have access to the resurrection power of God every day, no matter what we're going through. John 11:36-41, we're going back to Lazarus here. As I said, we hang out there. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Anyone ever have a situation that goes south and you think, well, if God did that for that person, why couldn't he do it for me? Anyone ever had that, if we're real honest, right? Let's be real this morning. But God's testimony and his love looks different for every person. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance, kind of like that one, right? A little bit more authentic, I would imagine. "Take away the stone," he said. Everyone say, "Take away the stone." Come on, say it one more time. "Take away the stone." There we go. He said, "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Now, can we just have a real talk here? If Jesus is here in the flesh and he told me to take a tombstone off, because that would be kind of maybe the same for now, how we do graves and stuff. And Jesus is like, "Just remove the tombstone." The first thing out of my mouth, I hope to God, would not be, "That's going to smell," right? But have you ever prayed for a miracle and God said, "We'll do this," and you say, "Well, that's going to get real messy. We'll talk to that person. That's going to smell," right? "We'll forgive them. No, that's going to be real smelly," right? Or, "Well, why don't you take that step of faith?" "Nope, we're not going to do that," right? Anybody ever done that? I know that Brian and I, we felt called to be generous to somebody. And it's like, have you ever taken a step of faith with finance? I feel like it's extra vulnerable where if you give something, you're like, "But if I give something, then I won't have anything," right? Anybody ever thought that? Well, when we gave something, immediately God blessed us in a really surprising way. And God just poured it out again, right? And he doesn't always do that with finances, you give and you get. I'm not preaching that gospel. But he does bless when we're faithful, right? And so, but sometimes it's messy. So when the church is more concerned about the mess than the miracle, we miss out on the resurrection power of God, right? When we're more concerned about the mess a miracle would make than the miracle or the miracle worker himself, we've probably tapped into dead religion. And that is something that we invite everybody here to forget and to get rid of when you walk through the doors together. It's a process, right? So as a church, if you wonder why sometimes it gets a little messy here, it's because I'd rather see a miracle than no miracle at all and it just be perfectly in order, right? I don't like chaos. God isn't a God of chaos, but sometimes it is smelly, right? Nobody's ever written that worship song. It's like the bridge. It's like miracle worker, roll the stone away, And then the smell filled, right? Nobody ever said that, right? That'd be a really weird song. It's Easter. We're just having family talk today. We're being casual here. I love this, though. When you dig through the dirt to find gold, you say you're gold mining, right? It's a gold mine. No one ever says it's a dirt mine, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to go to the dirt mine. What? What are you mining for? Dirt? You don't mine for dirt. You mine through the dirt to get to the gold or a diamond mine. That's really cool, right? I went to South Africa on a mission and a mission trip, and we went to this diamond factory place because I guess they do a lot of diamonds, and it was like all these different diamonds. But they didn't say it was a dirt mine. They said it was a diamond mine, right? A diamond store, not a once covered by dirt store. But sometimes I think as a church, you get messed up and it's like, oh, what's your testimony? And then you label someone by the dirt they walked through instead of the gold that they now are, or they're in the process of revealing, right? So it might be smelly, it might be dirty, but we don't define people by the dirt or the smell. We define them by the resurrection power of God that happens when we help people roll the stone away. Amen? So if God's a way maker, that implies that where there is no way, he will make one. Which means where there is no way, there might be a stone in front of that miracle or that breakthrough that you're trying to get. And if God, this is the message, I thought of a couple. If God really changes that person's heart, I might actually have to deal with them. Ooh. Anyone ever thought that? If God really heals my sickness, I might have to change my lifestyle. Anybody? My favorite healing room, I went to a healing room out in California, which isn't like some weird thing. It's just a prayer room that people pray for physical healing in. And my favorite part about it was this physical healing prayer room at this church, they actually taught a class on being healthy as well. So you went and you got prayer for a physical healing because God's a God of miracles. But then what about the amazing idea of like actually walking that healing out and stewarding it in your physical body? Right? I know a pastor who was praying for sick people, and it was in another country, and there was this woman, and I think someone's ears had just gotten opened or eyes had just gotten opened. There was some very large creative miracle that had just happened, and he saw this woman, and she hit her crippled son and like ran out the back door, and the pastor was like, what's going on? Like, we just had these physical healing miracles. Why is she hiding her son? And he found out later that the son was her source of income as a baker. And so if his crippledness had gotten healed, she would have lost her income. It would have gotten smelly. It would have gotten messy, right? If God really wants to heal my relationships, I might have to actually like forgive my dad or break a cycle or get a Christian counseling session for my marriage or whatever it is, right? Sometimes we want the stone to be rolled away, but we need to actually walk through the smell of that breakthrough. Don't put that on a t-shirt. Third day seasons, as we just wrap up here, third day seasons require us to get our hands dirty in ways we never thought we'd have to, so that we can see breakthroughs we never thought we would possibly see. All right? I want to say that again. I have to read it because I can't say it off the top of my head yet. Third day seasons require us to get our hands dirty. Everyone put your hands out. All right, get our hands dirty in ways we thought we'd never have to, so that we can see breakthroughs we never thought possible through Jesus. That might look like getting our hands a little messy, trying to work through some communication issues or trying to break some patterns with Jesus in our life, or it might be really practical. We might get paint on the brand new carpet, and I don't care, because that means maybe a child or an adult got to hear God's voice for the first time through artwork, right? So it might be a physical mess, although please don't get paint on the carpet unless you have to with Jesus. You better have a testimony attached to the stain, right? That's the rule. If there's a testimony attached, then you can stain it all you want. But without that, no thank you, right? But it might get messy. So let's just close here. If you want to stand on your feet, John 11:43-44. I'm just making my way down this whole scripture. I love Lazarus. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Everyone say that. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Just say, let him go. That's what Jesus is speaking out over some of you today. Let him go. Just let it go. and he's releasing you this morning. What I loved was the tombstone was rolled away when Jesus was resurrected, right? Everyone know the story. The tombstone was rolled away when they found Jesus. But when Lazarus was resurrected, Jesus said, roll the stone away, right? So we have one, roll the stone away. How many know Jesus could roll the stone away? Probably a lot easier than even resurrecting someone from the dead, even though it's all easy from him. But I wanted to share that because sometimes the breakthrough, the resurrection life, requires us to do something. We're not earning anything in God. It's not a striving thing, but sometimes we need to forgive that person, or sometimes we need to walk it out, and then we discover the resurrection life. How many know sometimes addictions get sovereignly healed? It's like you just get delivered from an addiction right off the bat. Other times, you got to walk it out. But how many know whether you got to walk it out or it's a sovereign creative miracle, it's all a miracle from God, right? It's all resurrection power. It's all Jesus. And so we celebrate all the miracles that God does here in this church, whether it requires a doctor or it doesn't, although I especially love the ones that don't, right? But however that tombstone gets rolled away, there is resurrection life inside. Charles Spurgeon, we Christians do not believe that Jesus Christ was the only one that ever rose from the dead. We believe that every deathbed is a resurrection, that from every grave the stone is rolled away. So I just want to close here with our scripture that, if you were here at our name-changing celebration, this is the scripture that we changed the name off of. It's Ezekiel 16. And it's a metaphor verse, so if you go to read it, it's got some very vivid language in it. I just want to prepare you, but it's because it's a metaphor for Israel. But this verse is verse 6 in Ezekiel 16. But I came by, this is talking about God, and I saw you there helplessly kicking about in your own blood as you lay there. I said, live, right? I was going to say, live. There we go. Worship song, right? I saw you and I said, live, and I helped you to thrive. I helped you to thrive. So I just wanted to close today with that, that whether you're in a first day season of unmet expectations and life throwing curveballs at you, whether you're in a second day Saturday morning of not hearing God and isolating yourself and grieving and not knowing what's going on, or whether you're finally stepping into that resurrection life that's available to us no matter what season of life we are in, God is saying thrive over you. He is saying live. So I just want to end, and I just want to invite you to just take a second here, and whatever situation is coming to mind as I was speaking, whatever season of life you're in, or whatever situation, it might be an isolated situation or something bigger going on. It might be personal. It might have to do with a crisis in our world. It might be a nation that's on your heart that you're praying for. Whatever it is, we're going to count to three, and then we're going to yell, live. And we're going to partner with God. It says, ask anything in my name, and according to my will, it will be done. We know that it's his will for us to thrive, to grow and mature, and to live this morning. So Jesus, I just thank you for showing us whatever situation, whether it's a person, whether it's a crisis, whatever it is, we just thank you, God, that whatever tomb is coming into our mind, whatever it is, we're just going to speak life, because we know you are speaking life over us. It's only sleeping. It's only sleeping, right? That's what he said about Lazarus. He's only sleeping. So God, we just count to three. One, two, three, and then we're going to yell, live. So, Father, I thank you that whether we're on a first day, number one, unmet expectations, whether we're number two, we're waiting for you as our strength is being renewed, or whether we're stepping into the third day, and number three, we just yell, live right now.
Live!
Thank you, God. We love you. Live! Thank you, Jesus. I encourage you this week to, whenever you're tempted to go into complaining or whatever season of life that I preach from here that you're resonating with, to say, live. And I've been in moments where all I can do is whisper the truth because the lie seems so strong. I've been in seasons where, you know, you're crying and you can just like get out one word. If all you get out is live, know that that's what Jesus is speaking over you. He's speaking over your situation. It's a third day resurrection. Easter is every day. He is rolling the stone away in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So be blessed. I want to encourage you, if you want prayer, you can come up to the front. But what I really want to encourage you is if you want to come up and write down something that God has redeemed in your life, let's fill that wall with testimonies and make that beautiful stone wall look a lot more attractive than it does. Let's just do that, just for my sake at least. All right. So I just want to encourage you here. We're going to put some music on. And if you got to race out for an Easter lunch, go for it. Go. Don't forget your child, please. they have some candy, I'm sure, to bring home. But come up to the front, write down something, and grab a piece of candy up here and a scripture to take home and meditate on this week. All right? God bless you, and be a witness this week.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.